Okay. Now that this is being recorded for the record, I'm Attorney Anthony Camacho. I'm serving as the hearing officer for the Office of Public Accountability. It is approximately 2:04 p.m. on Friday, June the 3rd, 2011. This is a teleconference pursuant to the protest of Sanford Technology Group LLC concerning DOE IFB number 006-2011, which is a bid for laptops and mobile labs. Will the members of the Office of Public Accountability at this teleconference please identify themselves for the record?
Doris Flores Brooks, Public Auditor.
Ann Camacho, Support Administrator.
Will the counsel for the protester please identify himself for the record and any institutional representatives with him?
Yes, not today. This is Gion Martinez from Blair Sterling Johnson Martinez on behalf of Mr. Sanford, or Sanford Technology. Sanford Technology is the entity that we're representing.
Thank you, Mr. Martinez. Will counsel for DOE please identify herself for the record and any institutional representatives with her?
Rebecca Cherens, legal counsel for the Department of Education. I am attending this call by myself. There are no departmental representatives present other than myself.
Thank you, Ms. Perez. Okay, as a preliminary matter, and this was raised in the protest, Ms. Perez, do you have a copy of Mr. Martinez's protest dated May 27, 2011?
I do. I'm going to pull that up again. I've seen it briefly this morning. What is the preliminary issue, may I ask?
Okay. Mr. Martinez states that, of course, this protest was filed pursuant to 5 GCA Section 5425A, which is enacted by Public Law 31-12, and he was stating that he believed the law was ambiguous in that. Well, Mr. Martinez, you can better state your argument. You're here.
Absolutely. The question of jurisdiction was the first, of course, that we wanted to address, and that is the procedure for Department of Education money that's funded through ARRA is supposed to, through Section 5425.1 of the procurement law, be posed to the OPA, and the public auditor's decision is supposed to be final. Unfortunately, the provision that was drafted, this is temporary and will expire at the end of this year, this provision of law that was meant to provide for this appeal, or this bid protest rather, is a little bit ambiguous as to what happens when you're protesting before a bid has been awarded. It's not as clear as some of the other provisions of the law. We believe that the true intent of this new provision of law was to give Mrs. Brooks, and the OPA the authority to resolve these disputes. It just wasn't written very clearly. So to comply with the law, we filed our bid protest with the OPA, and we filed a protective bid protest with the chief procurement officer as well for the Department of Guam, although we do not believe she has the jurisdiction to render opinion in this appeal.
If I could just clarify, it's the chief procurement officer, the director of public works, or the head of a purchasing agency. With DOE, because we're not under the chief procurement officer, it would actually be the head of the purchasing agency, which would be us, DOE. Unless the public auditor
has
a different position on that.
I beg your pardon, but the law itself protests procedures for 2009 American Recovery and Reinvestment Act money is governed, we believe, by Section 5425.1, and that attributes all responsibility to the OPA.
5425A, I'm looking at your attachments right now, I think it was 5425A.
Okay, let me just clarify for the parties. You know, essentially the public auditor will take jurisdiction pursuant to 5 GCA Section 5425A, subsection A, okay? Which states that, notwithstanding any other provision of this chapter, and that would be Chapter 5, GCA, any rules promulgated therefore, if an actual or non-selected vendor, contractor, or service provider is aggrieved by an award or contract funded in whole or in part by the funds allotted to the Guam Department of Education from the 2009 era, that's the American Recovery Reinvestment Act, basically the procedure for the protest is that the protest shall be submitted to the public auditor, okay? So pursuant to
that... We have no objection.
Yeah. DOE doesn't have an objection
to the public auditor. My clarification was that it's not actually the chief procurement officer. If we were talking about that, it's our department head. But, I mean, we don't have any objection to the public auditor's jurisdiction.
But for Mr. Martinez's edification, if this were a regular protest, Ms. Perez is correct in that it would have to be filed with the procurement officer of DOE and not Claudia Fodzi, the chief procurement officer. Is that kind of the gist of what you're saying, Ms. Perez?
It is. Thank you.
So going forward, now, Mr. Martinez, just to continue to clarify my last statement as you raised the issue that this is a pre-award situation? Is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Camacho. This is a pre-award situation. The bidding is supposed to have, well, the RFP went out and the bids are due on Monday, we think, unless there's going to be a change in the bid deadline.
Okay.
Actually, if I could... And I apologize that, it's just me and my departmental representative. I do believe that Monday is not the day that these bids are due. That the bids for this protest bid solicitation will actually be due on later this month. One moment, please. We believe we're going to be issuing an amendment extending it possibly till the 27th. Of this month. I'm not sure that that's going to change anything with regard to the substance of this, but once that amendment is issued by my department, I will submit it and file. I will submit it to OPA and I will file it with opposing counsel.
Okay, now let's go back to the procurement process. Pursuant to, as this is a new law that the parties may not be familiar with, pursuant to 5 GCA Section 5425A Subsection B, it states that there's basically no stay as a result of this protest. It states specifically, the fact that a protest has been filed pursuant to this section shall not stay the procurement process or award of any contract funded by ERA monies, whether in whole or in part, unless so ordered by the public auditor. Being there is no order at this time for such a stay, there is no stay in place. Do the parties understand that?
Yes, we understand that.
Okay.
We would appreciate an extension as articulated by Ms. Sanchez-Tomas, but we understand that.
Well, that's clearly within DOE's purview. If they're going to extend, we're not going to order that, but if they're going to do that through their own determination, that's certainly well within their right.
Okay, I'd like to make one clarification. Because this does involve a potential bidder to this, and I do not want in any way, shape, or form for them to have information that would not generally be available to other bidders, until such time as the extension, if issued, is issued, I'm only letting this be known where a potential bidder is in part of this conversation because of this protest. But it will not be an official action of the department until such time as an amendment is issued.
Okay. Now, going to the merits of the protest, the purpose of this teleconference is to see if the issues raised by the protest can be resolved by mutual agreement. And the gist of Mr. Martinez's protest is essentially Section 2.5.4 of the IFB, which articulates that the, I guess, a successful bidder will be required to submit a performance bond in an amount equal to 100% of the contract price. And Mr. Martinez essentially states that violates 5GCA section 5412 subsection G, which states that there is no requirement for a performance bond, merely the requirement for the bid security to continue as a performance bond. Is that kind of the gist of your argument, Mr. Martinez?
Yes, Mr. Camacho, if I could just make a clarification.
Yes,
go ahead. The provisional law is actually section 5212.
I apologize. It is 5212.
It's not a problem at all. I think we're all talking about the same thing. I just want to make sure that was clear on the record.
Yeah, that's 5212. Now, Ms. Perez, do you believe that that section applies to DOE?
What I would say at this time is that your first point was to see if we might be able to resolve this. I'm going to ask Mr. Martinez and the OPA's office and you, Attorney Camacho. I understand that there's an expedited timeline. There's only 10 working days to issue this decision. I do believe there's a possibility that this may be resolved without further pursuing the appeal that's been filed. However, I will need some time, a couple of days, to address that. And I'm not ignoring the fact that there's a short time for you to issue a response. But if Mr. Martinez and yourself are agreeable, I would like to be given until Wednesday morning because I believe at that time I will have from my client a very clear response which will indicate whether or not there is even a need to move forward with this appeal.
Well, actually, unfortunately, we cannot grant that request simply because according to 5GCA section 5425A, the public auditor has to issue a decision if there's no mutual agreement within no more than 10 working days of receipt of the protest, as the protest was lodged with the OPA on or about May the 27th of 2011. Uh-huh. That 10-day period will expire this coming Monday, the 6th of June.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 10 working days from the 27th. I'm sorry, I'm starting to count on the 31st.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wait. 10 working
days. Yeah.
It's working days. Okay. Maybe.
And Monday was a holiday.
That's correct. Hang on. Yeah, well, let me redo that figure real quick. Maybe we could accommodate that.
I'm counting.
But I had the 6th of June in my head, but that was based on days, not working.
Yes, I'm looking at the 13th. That's what I get with 10 days. I don't know if that's the same.
Okay. And that would fall within your time period. We could have a second conference, perhaps, if you wanted to confirm, after conferring with yourselves, or, the parties conferring, so whether or not a mutual agreement could be reached. Okay.
Yes, I do think that's a possibility. That is why I'm asking for the time.
Okay. But I do know one thing, and I'll just state it here. From my preliminary review of the protest, would be that 5GCA section 5212G, would apply to DOE. And essentially the requirement for a 100% performance bond, as stated in the IFB, paragraph 2.5.4.3, likely would violate 5GCA section 5212, subsection G.
Unless, so noted.
Yeah, so that's kind of how I see it. The other thing I noted as well, just so you're aware of it, Ms. Perez, in reviewing DOE's procurement regulations, I do note that there are at least 5 sections which would authorize the Department of Education to require a performance bond in the amount of 100% of the contract price. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, I cite DOA Procurement Regulations, Chapter 3, Section 3.2.5. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'd also cite, in particular, DOE Procurement Regulations, Chapter 5, Section 5.3.1.1. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
However, I note that those regulations actually conflict with 5GCA Section 5212 Subsection G, and I've looked and done some research concerning what to do, whether or not or when the agency's procurement regulations conflict with procurement law. It's my position that essentially that decision or that issue is decided by the Supreme Court of Guam.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just find it here.
Imaging.
Oh, here we go. In Guam Imaging Consultants, Inc. and RADS versus Guam Memorial Hospital Authority, and that's 2004 Guam 15 at paragraph 41, which essentially states, and I'm just paraphrasing here, whenever Guam procurement law applies to an agency's procurement activities, and such
mm-hmm.
agency's procurement regulations conflict with Guam procurement law, such agency's procurement activities must satisfy the requirements of Guam's procurement law and not the conflicting agency procurement regulations.
Okay.
Okay, so I believe that that has to, the law has to be followed. I note also that 5 GCA Section 5212 Subsection G is essentially part of Article 3 of Chapter 5 of 5 GCA. That's essentially Guam's procurement law.
Mm-hmm.
And I further note that, excuse me as I'm wading through quite a substantial mass of paper, but if you're to look at 5 GCA Section 5121,
mm-hmm.
it does state, 5125, it does state that every governmental body which is in the purview of the executive branch, including the Government of Guam Retirement Fund, GCC, UOG, DOE, and GMH, and Guam Economic Development Authority and the GVB, shall be governed by Articles 1, 3, 6, 7, 10, 11, and 12 of Chapter 5. Basically, the Guam procurement laws. Article 3 specifically applies to DOE. So would 5 GCA Section 5212. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I found that that applies to DOE and that your regs kind of conflict with it. And the Supreme Court of Guam has basically directed or ruled that whenever such a conflict exists, the procurement law must be followed. So if we were to write a decision on this issue, it is that body of laws which I just cited that we would follow.
Without concurring or disagreeing or taking a position on that, I do note the information that you provided.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So if you want to request another conference or meeting, we could perhaps accommodate that, okay? If you come to a contrary, well,
oh,
now
sorry.
That we have till the 13th, but that's also based on the schedule of the public auditor and availability, okay?
Yeah.
And also the other parties. So, but that's kind of how we would, that's kind of what we're looking at, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And Ms. Paris, let me just also, as a point of consistency, and Mr. Sanford knows this word consistency, okay, in a more recent appeal that we just rendered, this is OPA 1103 having to do with the outright purchase of computer systems and multimedia equipment, okay, in your bid specifications, page 12 of 26, number 11. You say at the very end, pursuant to Public Law 27-127, all competitive sealed bidding for procurement of supplies or services exceeding $25,000, a 15% bid security of the total price must accompany the bid package. So in a case already that has gone, you know, through, you're only requiring 15%, but yet in this particular procurement under question, under protest right now, DOE is requiring a 100% performance bond. Okay, so there is that inconsistency on the part of DOE.
So noted. So noted, Mrs. Bresser, Mrs. Public Auditor.
Okay. So, having said that, how much time would the parties need to confer with each other?
I would ask for at least until Wednesday, if Mr. Martinez, if he has no objection.
Mr. Martinez?
I have no objection to that.
What we would like to see, and the whole effort also from this law, is if it says it's to come to us if the parties do not agree, and unfortunately, because this is being new, neither one of you have really had an opportunity to talk and to vet this out to see whether or not you disagree. So we would like to kind of put it back in your courts to see if you can come to an agreement of some sort. And if you do, then I think we can resolve this without us rendering the decision.
Okay.
So we're saying, please see if you can amicably reach, because it says if the protest is not resolved by mutual agreement, then the public auditor shall issue the decision within 10 working days.
Okay.
That's certainly fine with us, that in the future we're amenable to directly contacting Ms. Constantinos and trying to address the issues. I think in this particular case we were dealing with someone at DOE in an attempt to get some sort of response in the context of questions, and that those weren't resolved in that context. That's the reason why we filed the bid protest, because we were running low on time.
Okay. And yes, actually all questions, Mr. Martinez, from your client can be directed to me as counsel for the department. Just for the record, because if somebody listens to this later, they'll have no idea who Ms. Santos-Tomas is. It's Perez now.
Oh, okay.
So, Rebecca Perez.
Yeah. Sorry, Rebecca. Congratulations.
Not a problem. Not a problem. I just wanted to note it because if it was played back, that would be the first time I think I heard it mentioned during the phone call. So that's fine. If I will direct my communications to you, to him.
Okay.
Yes.
And you can direct them and this matter directly to me.
On the 13th next week.
No.
Thank you.
We should let them. Also, I'm under a strict timeline. I'm leaving next Saturday on the 11th. So I really would hope, because we would like to know, because I need to be able to then, if we're not going to have a resolution, we might have to meet either on Thursday and Friday so we can at least take the information.
Well, how about, are we available on Thursday at 9 a.m.? Will the parties be available then?
We'll make ourselves available then.
I will also make myself available. Will it be by telephone or appearing before the public auditor and yourself, Mr. Camacho?
We will, I'll submit an order, okay? And we'll okay. Basically have a hearing, okay? Kind of. Keep in mind there are no regulations or implementing regulations here, so this is what. We'll have a hearing, literally on the protest.
Okay.
The first issue will be whether or not, after the parties have conferred, whether they've reached a mutual agreement. If you have not, I will hear arguments.
Okay. If we do reach an agreement, may we submit that in writing to you prior to the date and time?
You certainly may, and we'll certainly vacate that hearing.
Okay.
And essentially, but just if you don't, if you can't agree, okay, keep in mind that the laws I looked at were just the laws that I've noted, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're not definitive. They're certainly not a final decision, okay? But I do believe that if the parties were to go through them, they would somewhat be very determinative, okay, of the issues, as I believe they're clear. But nevertheless, I will entertain arguments if you cannot agree at the hearing on next week, Thursday, okay?
Okay.
Just also as a point of information, Ms. Paris, Ms. Camacho from our office gave us, there was a series of questions that a Mr. Robert A. Cruz of Stanford Stanford Company submitted to Telling Titano and a Mr. Pito. I think Pito is your chief procurement officer, right?
So that is correct.
Yeah, so also there was a list that was dated, I think, on the 25th of May. So there was also, like I said, a series of questions there.
Yes, I think that Mr. Martinez is in a position to advise his client that the IFB was very specific in the instructions as the only persons who are supposed to receive communications from prospective bidders.
Mark.
Okay, I'm not sure that I understand. I thought we'd contacted the right people, but what we can do is take the emails that had these six questions and direct them to you by email today.
That would be fine. That would be fine. It's a point of information for you to hand it. ISVs, this one in particular, and generally will indicate that all communications are to be limited to a specified person.
Oh, did that say that in the IFB? Usually questions are referred to a specific person. I didn't know. I haven't a chance to look at your IFB in particular to find out,
yeah,
who.
I do not believe, and I'll state that at this point, I do not have the documents in front of me. I do not believe Ms. Titano was in any way listed as an authorized person to receive communications from bidders.
But Ms.
I would want to advise Mr. Martinez. That may be something you want to look at.
We did it with both people. We actually, it's Carmen Titano and Marcus Pito, yes, according to page 13 of the bid. The bid package.
So not Ms. Titano?
Both Ms. Titano and Ms. Pito.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I thought it was the Telling Titano.
Oh, I thought that was Telling also. That's not Telling?
Yeah.
Carmen Titano.
I stand corrected. My apologies.
Yeah, just as, okay, a point, just as a point of clarification, Robert Cruz did send to the contact names shown in the IFB.
Okay. So to Carmen and not to Tom. Okay.
My correction. Yeah, that's right. He did send it to Carmen Titano and Marcos Pito.
Okay. All right. Okay. So, but yes, I will receive all communications as long as this appeal is open. That's fine. I can do this single,
okay,
point.
Well, it's not an appeal, it's an era protest, okay, that's just, so we're going to call it.
I think that guy called it an appeal first.
I call it the protest.
Okay.
And so just to recap, if there's a mutual agreement, you'll send that out. If not, otherwise, we'll plan to meet in a formal hearing room on 9 o'clock or by teleconference?
Formal hearing room by 9 a.m. I will draft a written order to that effect,
okay,
stating, giving the notice of the that hearing. Okay?
Okay.
Any other matters that we need to take up?
Not
at this time. I do expect that, I do have high hopes that we'll be able to resolve this,
okay,
without going through the whole process.
Okay. And I want to thank the parties for participating in this teleconference on very short notice. And
Attorney Camacho?
Yes.
I apologize. Can I just clarify one thing?
Go ahead.
I did have my assistant file with the OPA and with Mr. Martinez's office our preliminary record. It contained four exhibits. Can I just confirm that both of you received that?
Yes, we have obtained the procurement record, which it's got your signature.
Okay. Yeah.
Concerning the Sanford Technology Group, well, you say appeal, but it is a protest.
Yeah.
Okay,
so. do you have that as well?
I don't see that, Rebecca. I'm not sure if maybe it was the sense of the power. I did not
okay.
see anything.
I don't have my Sanford Stage copy yet either, because it was just, I think, an hour ago. So, but it should have been filed with your office.
Okay, but for the record, the OPA did receive those documents, the procurement record in this matter.
Okay.
I do have an extra copy that I could give to Mr. Martinez. So, Mr. Martinez, I'll take it up to your office once we're done.
That would be greatly appreciated.
All right. Are there any other issues?
No, but I'd like to thank everyone for getting together so quickly and addressing my client's point. I appreciate it very much.
Okay.
All right.
That said, then this teleconference is concluded. And we are off the record at 2:34. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. Have a great weekend.
Yeah. You too.
Thank you.
Maybe just from the point of clarification, even though.